Good evening, everyone. If you'll come on in, take a seat, we'll get started. We have kind of a different service tonight, a little bit different format than our usual songs and then a sermon. We're going to have a kind of a admixture of the two. We're going to focus tonight on angels, and then we're going to kind of sing our way through the sermon part. So hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Let me start with prayer, though, and then we'll begin. Father, we are grateful again for this time of year to celebrate the birth of Christ and just to think about him and his coming and all the different implications of that. Thank you for the times we've had in our morning service to think about that, and these times on Sunday evenings even to think about angels and their participation in the Christmas story and what all that means and what it means for us. For the opportunity to sing so many of these songs that we love. And we just thank you for it. Thank you for what's ahead even next week as we continue to do that. But we just pray for your blessing tonight on our service. Thank you for this time together and each one here. Pray that you'll just minister to each of us in a special way in Christ's name. Amen. Well, one of the things that we all love about Christmas, obviously, is the Christmas carols that we get to sing. So many of the great hymns in our hymnal are songs about the birth of Christ, and they are songs that by repetition we become very familiar to us and become very dear to us. And you may never have really stopped to think about it, but many of those songs refer to angels. In fact, I want to just see how many you can name. How many of our Christmas songs refer to angels? Just begin to name any of them if they come to your mind. Don't look, don't peek, but from memory. Hark the herald angels sing, yes. Angels from the realm of glory. The first Noel, what's the next line? The angels did say, good. Angels we have heard on high. What else? Anything? There are more. Do what? Where's the angel part come in? Refresh my memory. The third verse? Say it. Say the part for me. Angels are in there somewhere? I'll have to look, but I don't remember that. How about it came? What came upon a midnight clear? That glorious song of old, yeah. From angels bending near the earth. Did somebody mention the first Noel? I think you did, right? How about while shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground? Then what? The angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. So a number of our songs, right? A number of our Christmas songs are about angels or mention them or quote them. And that's fitting. Angels are the most vocal, the most visible, maybe even the most prominent players in the Christmas story. And so it's appropriate that our hymn writers have kind of immortalized their role in the Christmas story. That's why we're doing this study on angels. They are so prominent in the narrative, we should talk about them. More importantly, and more beneficial would be that we listen to them, right? And that's what we want to do tonight, using our Bible and the hymnal, is hear their message. Make sure we have heard their message. You may not realize it, but it's on that first Christmas, like perhaps no other time in history, that angels most or best fulfill their role and what their name actually suggests. Angel means messenger. That is central to their identity and their purpose and their role in creation. They deliver messages. And on that first Christmas in particular, they brought a message to earth from God. What is their message? And so tonight I want us to look at the Christmas story as told by the angels, which is really the gospel according to the angels. We mentioned last week how angels are instrumental in the giving of the Old Testament law, and so it's fitting that they also are instrumental in giving the New Testament gospel. And they are, in fact, they are really the first preachers. They're the first to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And as I said last week, if we are willing to spend billions of dollars to search galaxies, to search the stars for clues of intelligent life forms that can tell us why we're here and where we came from and what all this is about, why wouldn't we listen then to those messengers who came to planet Earth 2,000 years ago? Surely they deserve to be heard. Their message should be very important to us. So my question to you tonight, is their message important to you? Do you know what they said? Have you heard what they said? Do you believe it? Do you rejoice with them in the good news that they came to announce? What was their message? Would you believe four spiritual laws? It's true, and I want to show you that tonight. The gospel according to the angels contains four spiritual principles, four areas of emphasis, and we're going to look at them one by one and then sing songs that focus on each one. The first emphasis in the angel's message to earth is that man is a sinner in need of a savior. Now, we all know that's true, but did the angels actually say that? So turn in your Bible with me to Luke chapter 1, and I want to show you this, and then we'll sing some songs that reflect this emphasis. In Luke chapter 1, we have the recorded account of the angel Gabriel's appearance to Zacharias. Zacharias was fulfilling his priestly role in the temple, and Gabriel appeared to him with a very important message. And that's the first appearance of an angel at Christmas time. Luke 1, verses 5 through 20. And I'll just focus on what the angel said. Verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." There is there a clear emphasis, I hope you noticed, on sin. The news that Gabriel brings is that Zacharias and Elizabeth, in their old age, would have a son, and their son would be the forerunner to the Messiah. And notice what he would do, verse 16. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. That is language of repentance, isn't it? The sons of Israel had sinned against God. They've turned away from the Lord their God. and they need to be turned back. To be turned back to the Lord, to be restored to Him, to have their sin forgiven, taken away, so they can be reconciled to God, live in obedience and fellowship with the Lord. And verse 17, even more explicitly, it is He who will go before Him, before the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. Again, language of repentance. What is wrong with mankind? Our hearts have turned the wrong way. How bad is it? So bad that the most basic, fundamental family affection, a father's love for his child, is broken. And notice it doesn't say that He would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, but the fathers back to the children. That what's broken is the family. What's broken is the most basic relationship in society, fathers and their children. And this is how sinful, this is how disobedient we have become. This is the degree to which sin has impacted all of us, not just our world, not just our culture, but our homes, our relationships as parents and children. And so the forerunner would come and restore that, turn hearts back and align them the way they ought to be, make the disobedient righteous, and make them ready for the Lord. Well, Houston, we have a problem, right? That's what Gabriel is saying. This is the sinfulness of man. And so the very first angel to appear and the very first message to be announced is that man is a sinner in need of a transformation, a Savior who can not only save us from our sins, but change us, transform us, turn us back, and make us what we ought to be, make us what we are supposed to be. We're sinners in need of a Savior. So those are the songs we're going to sing first of all. Chris will come and lead us, and we'll sing songs related to that theme first.
All right, please stand, and we'll turn first to number 216, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, 216.
Bring by thine own eternal.
Turn the page over to number 218, O Come, Emmanuel. Lo, how a rose air blooming. 220. Stem
So, man is a sinner in need of a Savior. That's message number one. Message number two, God is a gracious God who provides salvation for his people. Listen to Gabriel's message to Mary, or follow along if you want to, in Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So much tenderness there, right? So much grace, even in the delivery, much less the content of that message. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And then her response, her gracious response as well. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." Mary's Magnificat also follows up on that and picks up on that same theme of the grace of God that is at work here in bringing all this to pass. In verse 46, Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. All of this just resonates with the message of God's grace and God's mercy, his compassion toward sinners, his loving kindness toward his people. That is the basis, isn't it, of our salvation, the grace of God, the gracious character of God. Who is a God like you, Micah says, a sin-pardoning God like you, who forgives iniquity? Or Isaiah's, I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me, Isaiah 43:11. God is a gracious God, a saving God, and we're saved because of that grace. Salvation is by grace, Ephesians 2:8. By grace you've been saved through faith. Titus 3:4, when the kindness of God our Savior appeared and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done, but according to his mercy. And I think maybe of all the creatures that God has made, the angels are most intrigued by grace. Maybe even more than we are, because we get to experience it. They simply observe it, right? Those angels who fell can never be redeemed. And those who didn't fall will never be saved. They will never fall and need salvation. Only sinful human beings experience the true full measure of this grace that brings salvation. And the angels are mesmerized by that. It says in 1 Peter 1 that the truths of the gospel of salvation by grace are things into which angels long to look. They are fascinated by this experience that only we as sinners experience. And so, of course, when they speak about this gracious God who provides salvation for his people. So let's sing about that now.
You'll stand again. Turn to number 221. And this is a newer Christmas carol. It takes the fullness of time theme that is talked about in the Gospels and turns it into fullness of grace. Fullness of grace, I'm just going to read the second verse. The love of the Father shown in the face of Jesus, stooping to bear the weight of humanity, walking the Calvary road. Christ, the holy innocent, took our sin and punishment. Fullness of God, despised and rejected, crushed for the sins of the world. Let's sing all three verses of 221. Fullness of grace in man's human frailty, this is the wonder of Jesus. Laying aside his power and glory, humbly he entered our world. Chose the path of meanest worth, scandal of a virgin birth. Born in a stable, cold and rejected, here lies the hope of the world.
Fullness of grace, the love of the Father, shown in the face of Jesus, stooping to bear the weight of humanity, walking the Calvary road. Christ the Holy Innocent took our sin and punishment. Fullness of God, despised and rejected, crushed for the sins of the world. Fullness of hope in Christ we had longed for, promise of God in Jesus. Through his obedience we are forgiven, opening the floodgates of heaven. All our hopes and dreams we bring gladly as an offering. Fullness of life and joy unspeakable, God's gift in love to the world.
Good. And number 237. 237, Joy Has Dawned Upon the World.
Joy has dawned upon the world, promised from creation. God's salvation now unfurled, hope for every nation. Not with fanfares from above, not with scenes of glory, but a humble gift of love, Jesus born of Mary. Sounds of wonder fill the sky with the songs of angels, as the mighty Prince of Life shelters in a stable. Hands that set each star in place shaped the earth in darkness. Cling now to a mother's breast, vulnerable and helpless. Shepherds bow before the Lamb, gazing at the glory. Gifts of men from distant lands prophesy the story. Gold, a king is born today. Incense, God is with us. Myrrh, his death will make a way, and by his blood he'll win us. Son of Adam, Son of Heaven, given as a ransom, reconciling God and men, Christ our mighty champion. What a Savior, what a friend, what a glorious mystery. Once a babe in Bethlehem, now the Lord of history.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, the third spiritual law or third area of emphasis brought to us by the angels is that Jesus is God's Savior. So man is a sinner in need of salvation. God is a gracious God who provides salvation for his people. And Jesus is God's Savior. That is the message of the angel who appeared to Joseph. So let's look at that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Who is this child in the Virgin Mary's womb? Well, it is a child put there miraculously by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what would be his name? Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. God's long-awaited salvation has come. That's what this angel is explaining here. And it's come in the person of this newborn babe, this child who will be named Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. And the Bible is very clear about Jesus being the Savior and the only Savior. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And of course, that is the theme of the preaching of the apostles all the way through the book of Acts. Many of them gave their lives preaching the exclusivity of the gospel message that salvation is through Christ alone. And so above all else, the songs that we sing at Christmas are about him and about his saving work, his identity as our Savior. And that is also the primary message that the angels bring about him. And they announce him as the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, as Emmanuel, but perhaps nothing more important than as Jesus, who will save his people from their sins. So we want to sing about that too. That last song could have gone either way. That was. I like that one.
Tried to tee you up. Let's stand again. Number 225. Go tell it on the mountain. 225.
Everywhere, go tell it on the mountain. that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Good. And number 238, we'll sing, oh, sorry, not 238, 236. We'll sing the first and last verse of Silent Night, 236. Actually, we'll sing the first and second verse.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Verse 2.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Okay, you may be seated.
So the first principle, man is a sinner in need of a Savior. The second, God is a gracious God who provides salvation for his people. Third, Jesus is that Savior. And then the fourth message that we hear from the angels who appeared to the shepherds, I think could be summarized as this salvation is for the world. It really is for everyone. That is sort of the theme that you pick up on as the angels appear to the shepherds and as the multitude of angels appear and sing. Let's read that whole passage, or I'll read it. You follow along. Luke 2, beginning in verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The nuance here, and the good news here, is that Jesus is a Savior not for Jews only, but for all men, for all nations, Jews and Gentiles alike. How do we know that? Because the angel says, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people." Not just all the people of Israel, but all the people of the world. And then when the multitude of hosts sing, they're singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Reconciliation with God is possible now for every sinner on the planet. So Jesus is the Savior of the world, meaning the world of sinners, the world of Jews and Gentiles, all people, all nations. Isaiah 9, Galilee of the Gentiles, right? The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. So man is a sinner in need of a Savior. God is a gracious God who provides salvation. Jesus is God's Savior, and his salvation is for the whole world. Forget sleigh bells ring, are you listening? Angels sing, are you listening? Angels have appeared. Angels have delivered messages. Are we listening? Forget aliens. Angels have visited our planet Earth. And they have done their job. They delivered their message faithfully from heaven to earth. Do you believe it? Do you rejoice with them in it? Do you live like it? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. All because of the Savior who is Christ the Lord. So let's wrap up by singing about just the grace of God that makes salvation available to the whole world, and the call of the gospel for all to come and adore him and worship him.
Well, please stand once more. Turn to number 224. And I love how the marked verses are all of the verses. So we will sing all of the verses on 224, because how can you leave out any of them when it's Joy to the World?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Good, and turn back to number 238. Hark, the herald angels sing. He was born to raise the sons of earth. All the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let's sing 238.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the new. Of peace. brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
All right. Do you have any final words of wisdom? All right. Thank you all. Come back next week. So next week, the 16th, is going to be in the morning. The choir is going to sing. We've prepared a whole suite of carols, and there will be singing along with congregational singing. And then in the evening, come back for lessons and carols. It's going to be from creation to Christmas, scripture and then singing and scripture and singing. The kids' choir is going to sing. There's a combined kids and adults choir. It's going to be quite the deal next Sunday. So hope you guys can come back. Thank you all. You're dismissed.